Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, for another program about Fatima. We have been preparing the field, the conceptualization of Fatima and other appearances of the Blessed Virgin Mary to understand, to be able to dig in to the message of Fatima. First, we have to welcome it and to prepare its birth. It's like Advent, prepare the birth of our Savior, or it's like preparing the crib where we put the baby Jesus. We need to open our minds and our hearts for this event because, as you know, many people are close to this sort of event, especially the very intellectual ones. I remember being precisely in Fatima in the small chapel of the apparitions, and there was a meeting of consulate missionaries there, and so a colleague of mine, he told me, well, I don't really believe much in these things. Well, it's up to him. That's why the Church has defined these two type of revelations, so that these ones are, you are entitled to believe or not to believe, to accept or not to accept. They are not dogma. But they are out there. You really, sometimes we reject people, we reject things that we don't know. But if we knew them, probably we wouldn't. So let us keep to these people and keep your mind open. Don't close, because if you close, then you not even research about it, you not even look for it. And of course, you are rejecting something that you don't know. But very easily, we reject things because we don't know, and also by some prejudices that we might have against certain things. And that's the case of Fatima, and that's the case of many other of these revelations. So, but the Church is serious, and in the Council of Trent, already before long time ago, after the Reformation, it was this council after the Protestant Reformation. They came up with the criteria that was in the 1545 to till 1563. They came up with the criteria to accept or to reject these revelations. And the most important thing, we already spoke about certain criteria, the most important thing and the most important approval or disapproval of these revelations comes from the local bishop. The local bishop is the first and the main authority in the judgment of the authenticity of an apparition, of any apparition claims. The Vatican approval is not required for an apparition to be considered authentic. You see, the Pope, and if you remember well, when Pope Francis was elected, he said, I am the Bishop of Rome. He didn't say, I am the Pope. Well, the Pope, the successor of Peter, is the Bishop of Rome. But in the Catholic Church, even if the Pope has jurisdiction and legislative, so to say, in human terms, in civil terms, legislative and executive powers over the whole church, which is true, because Peter was already a leader among the apostles, and you cannot deny that. So even if the Pope has those executive and legislative powers for the rest of the church, but he is still the Bishop of Rome, and each bishop in the Catholic Church has some autonomy in doing things, in proclaiming things and doing things not against the church, but differently. Differently, can do things differently. And so the approval, it's not the most important. Approval is the one of the local bishop. The Vatican approval, so which is the universal church approval, may not, it's not done by an official statement or an official document signed by the Pope. It's done in a non-written forms, such as a papal visit. That's, you know, the Pope has not visited Medjugorje, for instance, and that means he doesn't approve of it. So, by a papal visit, by crowning the icon that is associated with that apparition, by giving a golden rose, which the popes already gave to many sanctuaries. Fatima has two or three, I'm not sure now. By the approval of a construction, a building, a basilica, a shrine, a church, and also by the establishment of the feast day, in the whole calendar of the Catholic Church, and also the beatification first, and then the canonization of the associated visionary, of the person that was the depositary of these visions or revelations. So these are the ways the Universal Church, the Vatican, the Pope, accepts and underlines and these revelations. It's never, as I repeat, it's never by a document, by an official document, but by these other means, indirect, but they are there. And when they are not there, even if it was approved by the local bishop, well, it remains a local thing, never proposed to the Universal Church, because the Pope has not exhorted it by these ways that we have mentioned. A positive judgment by the local bishop is theoretically can be reversed. So by the bishop of that time, in that apparition, a subsequent bishop can overturn that judgment. But this has never happened in the Catholic Church. So that means when the bishop says something, he is guided by the Holy Spirit, and it remains. There has never been in the Catholic Church that a bishop have approved locally one of these apparitions, and then his successor came and overthrew his that approval. That has never happened because the bishop takes time and takes sometimes years to go over it, to study it with other people, and then finally gives or doesn't give the approval. But it takes time. So if a Marian apparition is recognized by the bishop, it means that the message is not contrary to faith and morals, that Mary can be venerated in a special way in that site, and that the faithful can believe with confidence in the supernaturality of the event of those apparitions. But because belief is a private revelation, is not required by the Church, Catholics have liberty to decide how much personal spiritual emphasis, if any, they want to place on those apparitions and the message they deliver. So it depends on the faithful to accept some, reject others that go according to your own personality, to the acceptance of what has been revealed, and so forth. So that's entirely for each one to approve or not approve. So after a pause, we'll go back to the criteria that the Church uses to approve or disapprove one of these revelations. So these criteria are, the first one is the facts in case are free of error. The person receiving these messages, the person is psychologically balanced. We already said it, that in Spain there is this saying that those that are psychologically unbalanced, they seem to have seen the Virgin. So a person that is psychologically balanced, that is honest, that morally is without a reprimand or big reprimand, it is sincere and respectful of the Church authority. So a very good criteria. The third would be doctrinal errors are not attributed to God, to Our Lady, or to a saint. The fourth, theological and spiritual doctrines presented are free of error. Fatima, for instance, is filled with theology. It's very complete theologically, and all that theology coming from the mouth of three ignorant little shepherds, that's very amazing. But it did come, and that's a proof, because you have some theological truths coming from the mouth of a theologian, it goes without saying, it's normal. But theological and sound truths that come through the mouth of children that not even know how to read and to write, that's a proof by itself that there must be something that they were told. So, and the fifth, money is not the motive involved in the events, because some, you know, some people would like to fake some sort of events that could attract lots of people and then get lots of money. So this is not the case, oh no, and we will go that, we will speak about it, that of course there is revenue in Fatima as there is in Lourdes and Guadalupe, but it was not born because of that, and that's clearly nobody could ever prove that the whole event of Lourdes, Fatima and Guadalupe, it was to make money. So many people ignorantly and prejudicially, they make these affirmations, but they can't prove them. So, and the third, the sixth, healthy religious devotion and spiritual fruits result from this apparition, with no evidence of individual or collective hysteria, that there some fruits as consequence of these apparitions, they spring up, and those are not the result of individual or collective hysteria, but they are the result of something supernatural that has happened in that place. Now, there are, let me say, 1, 2, 3, 4 categories. There are many apparitions, as I told you, and I told you that I was going through some of these. There are many, and so the Church categorizes them in groups. A first group is the approved by the local bishop, as we said, it's the first step, approved by the local bishop, with widespread liturgical veneration, endorsed by the Holy See. This is the first group, the most important group. And of course, in here I can tell you, is where in this group are Guadalupe, Fatima, Lourdes, and not only, there are a couple of others that are in this group that are approved, and there is a widespread liturgical veneration that is endorsed by the Holy See many times. But there are others that are simply approved locally, and that's it. Simply approved locally, but not much study had been not much study has been done. And they are mostly local. There is no widespread liturgical veneration. There is no endorsement by the Holy See. There are a third group that the public veneration has been approved. Apart from being approved by the local bishop, the public veneration, that means the veneration of the whole Catholic Church, has been approved. And the last group is that pilgrimages have been approved, but not public veneration. And that's precisely, there is only one in that group, which is Medjugorje. So public veneration pilgrimages have been approved, so you can go to Medjugorje in pilgrimage, but it's not approved by the local bishop yet, and of course not endorsed by the Holy See. So those that are in the first category, that are the most important category, where Fatima, Guadalupe, and Lourdes are, but also others that I will tell you. So the first one is, of course, we go chronologically. The first one is Guadalupe in Mexico in 1531. So Our Lady appeared there as Our Lady of Guadalupe. And the first... The feast day was marked for the 12th of December. There were five apparitions, and the last one is precisely on the 12th of December. In case of Fatima, the feast day is not the last apparition, is the first, which is the 13th of May. So here we have the feast is on the last apparition. So with the Archbishop Alonso de Montúfar was the one to approve. The visionary, of course, is Juan Diego, but not only Juan Diego. Most of the people think that only Juan Diego saw the Blessed Virgin Mary in Guadalupe. There is also Juan Bernardino, that is the uncle of Juan Diego. And the miracles, of course, the tilma of Juan Diego, which is the cloth, the overall, I'm missing the name now, the tilma of Juan Diego got the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary imprinted on it, and that became the icon of Guadalupe. The image that we see whatever is precisely that image, and in the Basilica, in the new Basilica there in Guadalupe, that's the same image there that is shown to the public. So in this apparition, Mary proclaimed herself as the mother of the true God who gives life. Because remember, we are in a place where there were human sacrifices. So the God was somehow God of that, because he wanted human sacrifices. And many were sacrificed. You know, the Aztecs, the Mayas, they had human sacrifices. So these apparitions put an end to these sacrifices, to this bloody God that wanted death. So Mary proclaimed herself as the mother of the true God, the one that gives life, as she gave life. And amazingly, at Guadalupe, Our Lady appears pregnant. She appears pregnant because the gospel is yet to be delivered into the Indians. Juan Diego was a converted Indian. But of course, we will speak about the apparition Lourdes, as we are speaking largely about Fatima. We are going to give a program, at least a program, to Guadalupe and another one to Lourdes. Because they are really very much important. Guadalupe was very important, as I will tell you, for the evangelization of America. It was very providential. Without it, America wouldn't have been evangelized the way it was. The conversions were by the millions after this apparition, and the very little conversions happened before these apparitions. Okay, so that was the first, and the second is in 1830 in Rue du Bac in Paris. So it in the street du Bac, there Mary appeared as Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. Now, it's Immaculate Conception. This Miracles Medal is the most popular medal that we have, that we are given when we make First Communion, and many, many people use this Miraculous Medal. They find relief, comfort in using it, and protection. So it's very popular, this apparition. It happened on the 27th of November, 1830. There were two or three apparitions, not sure, The first was on the 18th, and the last on the 18th of July, and the last on the 27th of November of that year. The visionary is a saint, is Saint Catherine Labouré, and the summary of this apparition, this Catherine Labouré was a novice of the Daughters of Charity, founded by Saint Vincent de Paul. As you know, these are it's still the biggest religious order, the one that has more members. And so Our Lady appeared to this novice, and commissioned by the Virgin, so commissioned this novice to make a medal of the Immaculate Conception, that is called the Miraculous Medal, that we all know how it is, how it looks like. This medal was made in order to spread the devotion of Our Lady, especially the devotion of the Immaculate Conception. And indeed, this devotion was widely spread. As a matter of fact, some countries, many countries have their orago, have their patron saint as the Immaculate Conception, like it is down North America. The United States have the Immaculate Conception as the patron saint. And in Washington, they have a big, huge basilica dedicated to the Immaculate Conception. So all other apparitions, as we know, as we will say about Lourdes, is also around this devotion, is also around this dogma that was proclaimed these years. So these apparitions somehow are a proof that indeed Our Blessed Mother was conceived without the original sin.
Have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about Our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.